Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
The Bible's a big book. There's a lot of places we could go and do a series. But I really like Genesis, and I feel like the Lord has allowed us to delve into this beautiful book. Genesis, of course, being the first book in the Bible, not the first chronologically. Moses is the author that God used to write the book of Genesis. However, the book of Job probably would be the oldest chronologically. But this one was obviously the right choice for the first book. Number one, because that's the way God did it, and He always does things right. Number two, it makes sense because we start at the beginning. It's always good to start something from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is a very powerful passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, just in this one chapter, one chapter and one verse, we're going to see the five categories of science. We're going to have time in the beginning. We're going to have force, God. We're going to have motion, created. We're going to have space, heaven. And we're going to have matter, earth. Just in the very first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the Bible. God is mentioned 32 times in this 31 verse chapter. If we were to take the personal pronouns that is also acquired to God here in this chapter, He would be mentioned 43 times. The Holy Spirit brings us in the presence of God and keeps us there in this first chapter. The word "and," the conjunction "and," is used 99 times in the first chapter, which in modern English would be inappropriate. We don't like to have sentences with and. It would be very annoying for me to get up here and say, take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, and let's read verse 1, and let's read verse 2, and let's read verse 3, and read. We just don't talk like that in modern day English. But not in the Bible, because God is slowing down the reader to read each phrase or word thus joined together. Now, chapter 1, the devil has attacked relentlessly. He's attacked this chapter, and it makes sense that he would do so. The devil has had this chapter attacked because he wants the Bible to be treated as unscientifical, ignorant to believe. But yet I just, in the very first verse, gave you the five different categories of science. Listen to this. Bill Nye, in the National Geographic, January 2015, and many of you grew up on Bill Nye the Science Guy. January 2015, in the National Geographic, a question was asked, and this is what his response was. Here's the question. How and when did you first encounter creationism? His response. About 20 years ago, I was a member of the Northwest Skeptics, which in the Seattle-based skeptic organization. We met people who insisted that the earth was 6,000 years old. The inanity took my breath away. When you understand anything about astronomy or have just a rudimentary understanding of radioactivity, the earth is patently not 6,000 years old. It's silly. He also said, this is the big concern of mine with respect to the organization Answers in Genesis and Ken Ham and all those guys. Their relentless built-in attempt to indoctrinate a generation of science students on a worldview that is obviously wrong. His biggest problem is that you are teaching your children that the Bible's true. You say, well, that was Bill Nye the Science Guy. Well, let me tell you what Pope Francis said. Yes, I said Pope Francis, the religious leader of the Catholic Church. Speaking at the Pontifical Academy of Science, the Pope made comments which experts said put an end to the pseudo-theories of creationism and intelligent design that some argue were encouraged by his predecessor. Francis explained that both scientific theories were not incompatible with existence of Creator, arguing instead that they require it. Here's what Francis said. When we read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God was a magician with a magic wand able to do everything. But that is not so, Francis said. The Big Bang, which today we hold to be the origin of the world, does not contradict the intervention of the divine creator, but rather requires it. Pope Francis, the head of the Catholic Church, just got done saying that the Big Bang theory is the way the world began. Lawrence Krauss, he's an American-Canadian theoretical physicist, cosmologist, who is the foundation professor of the School of Earth and Space in Arizona State, said this: teaching children creation is child abuse. Child abuse. Richard Dawkins is an English ethologist, evolutionary biologist, and author. He's emeritus of the New College, Oxford. He's talking about the God of the Bible. Here's what he says. And this does not, although it comes from my lips, it does not come from my thoughts or heart. He said, the God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, now he's talking about God now, a petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty, ethnic cleanser. A misogynistic, homophobic, racist. Infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sodomistic, capriciously malevolent bully. Friends, we better wake up. Now I want you, these are the people training your children, whether it be of elementary or whether it be of collegiate. These are the people brainwashing your children about the God of the Bible. You better wake up. You better wake up. The devil has put more doubt on this very chapter than any other chapter in the book. Here's why. If he can get you to doubt in the beginning God, then he can get you to doubt that Jesus died for your sins. He can get you to doubt that he loves you. He can get you to doubt that he even exists at all. The devil will do all he can to see to it that we don't believe Genesis chapter 1. But if we can't believe that God said, let there be light, then we can't believe him when he said, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can't believe the Bible when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can't believe Genesis 1:1. We can't believe John 3:16. Friend, the devil knows this. The devil wants everyone to believe that God is not God. Even if it means that people do not believe in the devil himself, he's willing to sacrifice that in order to get you to believe that there is no God. He would gladly sacrifice his identity and popularity if he could just get one person to deny that there is a God. And there are thousands that profess to be just that, an atheist. According to the Kansas City Star, 26% of Americans claim to be atheist. Not agnostic, atheist. So in Genesis 1, we can see some things. Of course, nothing takes God by surprise. And so he made sure that he put all five categories of science, or at least five categories of science, I don't know how many there are, but at least five of them, in the very first verse. So when I see Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the first thing that I see is, I see God. Makes sense, right? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. See, there was a God in the beginning. And like I've said the last few times when we talked about Christology or whatever we were talking about when we come to creation, there was a God, there is a God who created all things in the beginning. Therefore, we do have someone that has observational science. Because science cannot be science unless it's observed. There's historical science that people did not observe, they say. But science is observational science. Last week when we had the eclipse, everybody was out there and they were just a wowing and an awing. And I was like, I thought it was going to get darker than this. But I had me a little sun thing and I was sitting there looking at it. And it was pretty impressive. The Denims got to be down in Tennessee where there was a total eclipse, and that would have been pretty special. 7 more years from now, you can go to Cleveland, Ohio, or I believe it is, and you can see it in Cleveland, Ohio 7 years from now if you want to see another total eclipse. But pretty impressive. Pretty neat. Observational science, God was there. Scientists all are flustered about no one was there, so no one knows. Oh yes, someone was there and someone does know, and his name is God. Also in this very first chapter, not necessarily just in the first verse, but at least in the first few verses, we see the Trinity. We see God the Father, in the beginning God. We see the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water in verse 2. We know that God said, let there be light. We know that God here is talking about Jesus Christ. All three parts of the Trinity. How do you know that's Jesus, you might say? Well, if you go over to John 1:1, what's the Bible said? In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. So now we know who created all things, because the Bible lets us know in John 1:1. God created all, Jesus created all things. So we have God the Father, we have the Holy Spirit moving upon the waters, and then we have the God, that God coming out and saying, let there be light, and that's Jesus Christ. The Trinity, three persons right here in the verse three verses of this chapter. The first six. Number two, I see God's power. I see God's power. He did this out of nothing. The big fancy word is ex nihilo. He did this out of nothing. He created all of this with His spoken word. And as I mentioned, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, or I'm really not even sure when I mentioned it, but when Jesus created the world, He did it with His spoken word. When Jesus died on the cross, He couldn't die, pay for your sins with His spoken word. It took action. But when God created all that we see, He did it with His spoken word. He did it out of nothing. I see God's intelligence. I see God's omnipotence, which is all-powerful. I see God's omniscience, which is all-knowing. God's intelligence is here. It makes... And we preached on creation. It just so happens that Genesis 1:1 starts with this. So if we're going to start in the book of Genesis, this is where I've got to start. So some of it's rehashed. Some of it you've heard already. When God created all things, He did it with His spoken word. And how in the world can a scientist that claims to be intelligent, that claims to have so many degrees that he could be a thermostat or a thermometer, whatever one has all the degrees. We're talking about a doctor that claims to be an intelligent human being saying that all of this came from nothing. A big, invisible bang. Nothing collided with nothing, exploding nothing into everything. That's not even reasonable. I'm telling you, the devil probably sat in the corners of the earth thinking, how can I show that human beings are really stupid? I know what I'll do. I'll make them believe that everything came from nothing. Just nothing hit nothing and exploded, and there you have it. They'll buy that. And he was right. Listen, if you believe in the theory of evolution, I don't even know how to say this kindly, but I'm going to try to. You're ignorant. You're ignorant. Whether you laugh or not, you're ignorant. Because you're ignorant because you go against a holy God, not because you go against me. Hey, you're probably a lot smarter than me. But none of us are smarter than God. And these same people that are barking about us abusing our children, teaching them that God created all things, they're the ones that are really abusive. They're the ones that are really trying to drag your children to hell. Anybody that drags anybody to hell would be an abusive person. You say, what about God? God doesn't drag anybody to hell. Man makes their own decision to go there. He did everything to get them out of there. And here you have this creation, evolution fight. We're just talking about Genesis 1:1 now. We haven't even got to Genesis 1:2. I got a whole sermon on Genesis 1:3. I see God's omniscience. His all-knowing ability to make every little molecule fit together or oppose in the exact way it should be. You know, if we were made, think of a magnet. Think of a magnet. A magnet has two sides to it, right? You got one that, you know, and then you got it where it, woo, you know. What if God decided just for one day to play a trick on us and reverse all of our molecules to the opposite of the magnetic force that it is that keeps us together? We would go, woo. But he doesn't. Your skin sticks to yourself. Why is that? Because God made it that way. And God doesn't make a mistake. To think, and this is where, you know, we say, people say, well, we weren't there, you weren't there when God created the world, and we weren't there for the Big Bang Theory, so it's faith. Absolutely. Both of them are steps of faith, but as I said a couple of weeks ago, mine is at least a reasonable faith. A scientific reasonable faith. Observational science, very important. God saw it. He was there. In their scientific analogy of it, there was nobody there, so there's no observation. There wasn't even an amoeba to see it. The amoeba came later. I don't even know where it came from. They don't either. But they're going to tell you that the earth is billions of years old. You say, you sound frustrated. I am, because, you know, when doing research and study, I sit there in front of the YouTube yesterday and I watched these guys. You can go and listen to these people's speeches about God. This I pretty much got these from listening to them and retyping them or going and finding out what they said and just in copy form and pasted it. And it's frustrating how openly blasphemous and how much of cowards that on this religious, on this panel where they had religious leaders, how much the cowardice of the religious leaders because they're afraid of the evolutionists. We don't want to be thinking that people think we're stupid. The world has got us Christians scared to death that they're going to mark us as ignorant when it's them that are ignorant. That's the old trick. The old trick is, if I bark loud enough, then you probably won't come at me. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I did that as a principal. I hope I would never have to spank someone, so I'd say, I'll spank you if you don't do that. I really didn't want to spank him, and then that threat was so that I wouldn't have to. And so I was kind of trying to play, I guess, a little game in their mind. Well, maybe he'll spank, you know. And that's what we do. That's what the scientists are doing. They're just yakking. They have nothing to back it up. Well, we studied the rocks. Well, when God made Adam and Eve, and we haven't gotten to Adam and Eve yet, but when God made Adam and Eve, he didn't make them a little infant. He put them in their mature state. So when God made the earth, he made it in its mature state. That is not hard to figure out. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's easy. The chicken. You know, ask me a hard one. The chicken came first because God put two chickens in the Garden of Eden. These two ugly little creatures walked in front of Adam and he said, chicken. Now, how it happened? I mean, I don't know if he got to sit down for all this or what. I don't know if there was a parade where he got to. I don't know how it happened. But here comes this big gray thing with a long nose. Elephant. He named them all. The Bible tells us that, right? So here comes these two little chickens. And he said, chicken. And you have chickens. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. So Bill Nye can sleep at night because I just gave him the answer. Somebody text him, tell him I gave him the answer to which came first, the chicken or the egg. Mystery solved, he can rest at peace tonight. If it's that big of a puzzle for him. Listen, the theory of evolution is way off, but we're getting religious leaders to start to buy into it. Why? Because we don't want to be considered ignorant. Listen, you can stand on the Bible. Science will catch up with the Bible sooner or later. Or God will destroy the earth, which he will. Yeah, there's going to be a global warming. It just isn't right now. And when we get done with this winter, we're going to wish that there was a global warming. I see God's omniscience. I see that God does everything in beauty and variety. We're all different. Even in a I can't even imagine what it was like in the Garden of Eden, but even in a cursed state, this earth is beautiful. It really is. How many of you go, you try to go and see the national parks? Anybody? Why do you do that? Because they're ugly? Let's go see the ugliest park we can find. No one does that. You go and you take pictures and you send them back to make everybody jealous that they're not there. And you show the flowers in the meadows or the Old Faithful blowing up. And you the beautiful mountains of the Colorados and the rivers of West Virginia. I mean, it's a beautiful place. Even in a sin-cursed world, it's a beautiful place. I see God does everything in beauty and variety. And you know, God cares about the minute matters in the universe. We haven't gotten to this verse yet either, but to be honest with you, I haven't decided if we're going verse by verse or if we're going chapter by chapter, so it doesn't really matter. When God made the stars, I mean, the billions, if not trillions of stars in the universe, all God said is, and he made the stars also. That's it. But if we were to take a telescope, if we could figure out how to do it, and if we could multiply our technology by 1,000 tonight, if we could somehow miraculously come up with a telescope that could see 1,000 times farther than our best telescope can see right now, there would still be stars in the universe, and there would be planets that no human being will ever see. It matters. The minute little details. You say, what's the minute little details? He even has your hairs on your head numbered. and he knows your name. Man, I got blessed. That you ever heard that song, He Knows My Name? Man, I played that yesterday. I don't know why. I don't know. I was feeling down or something. I don't know. I was in my office, and I found the Rochesters, and I put that thing on, and I just cried like a baby. I mean, I kept hitting replay. I'd get up and walk around in the basement. I'd turn that thing up. He knows my name. The God of the universe knows my name. And he has the hairs on your head numbered. You say, well, I ain't got any hairs. He's got those numbered too. The little ones that you can't even see, he knows them. Knows the stars, names the stars, numbers the stars. He's a God of beauty and variety. He cares about the minute matters in the universe. Number six, I see the order of God. Everything that God did was in order. The evening and the morning were the first day. Aren't you glad that he didn't make the second day first? He could have done it. You say he couldn't. He could have done it. He's God. I don't know how he could have done it, but he could have. But he does everything in decency and in order. It's also wonderful that he made the land before he made the animals. And he made the sea before he made the fish. And he made the air before he made the birds. He could have made the birds first, and the birds would be like, where do we go? And he said, oh, yeah, I'll make air. No, day one, day two, day three, here's what he made. Day four, day five, day six, here's what he made. If you take the days that he made, one, two, and three, and you compare them, and you put day one, day two, day three, and then day four, day five, day six, you can line them up, and it's exactly what they needed. It's exactly what they needed. He made the land, he made the humans. He made the water, he made the fish. He made the earth, he made the atmosphere, he made the water. I mean, listen, just do it. Just write them down. Day one, day two, day three, and then go day four, day five, day six, and they'll match. Listen, I see God is a God of order. God does everything in decency and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, he tells us, let all things be done decency and in order. That's why we have an order of service. See this thing right here that I always look at? This is the order of service that we create before we come up here on the platform. Why? Because we need things to be done in decency and in order. I don't get up here and just say, all right, let me see here. How about we just sing a song? Okay, let's take up an offering now. I don't do that. You say, well, I know a church that does that. Great, that's good for them. That's not how my mind works. I'm a mathematical-minded person. I have to do things structured in an order. Even though it looks like chaos, it's order in here. But God is a God of decency and an order. That's why we have order in our service. That's why we have order in the church. That's why we vote and we decide together. And we do it in an orderly fashion. See, because God said, because God, number one, is a God of order. We see that in creation. And then God just goes ahead and, in case we missed it, goes ahead and tells us, hey, do everything in decency and in order. So we need to be decent to one another, and we need to do things in order, in organization. Number seven, and I'm done. I see God made the world for man to enjoy. How many of you like to fish? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Ladies can raise your hand too. You say, well, of course they can. Of course they can. I never said they couldn't. How many of you like to hunt? Murderers. I'm just kidding. I don't mean that. I'm just trying to be politically correct somewhere. How many like to hike? You're weird. Go outside and hike, man, when you can be in a nice car. Hey, God gave us this earth to enjoy. Go fishing. Go hunt. Go on a hike. Go golfing. Go pick fruit. Go drive around the countryside and look at God's beauty, because he created this earth for you and me to enjoy. Don't think that God doesn't want you to enjoy life. He does. When I speak to someone that just lost a loved one that I know is in heaven, I tell them, I say, listen, I know that you're not going to think that you should be able to smile and you're going to feel guilty for laughing here in a couple of days when something strikes you funny, but don't. Because they're in heaven having a great day, and I guarantee you they want you to be having a great day too. So it's okay to laugh, even in the midst of hurt. It's okay to smile. I learned that lesson because our secretary at Mount Pisgah, her son was killed on a hunting accident when he was 13. He was shot. A gun fell and shot him and killed him. And she said, you know, I felt guilty. I'd be sitting there and I'd see people talking and laughing and I'd get angry. I'd say, why are they laughing? They don't have a right. My son's dead in the grave. And she would feel guilty and feel upset for people to enjoy life. And she had to change that attitude. And she realized, hey, it's okay to laugh. And she'll tell people, and she's a great minister to, she ministers very well to those people that have lost loved ones. She puts it in their calendars. When a teenager gets killed, she calls them every year on the anniversary religiously. She's very, very good about it. And she tells them, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to enjoy life. Hey, listen, I want you to know it's okay to enjoy life. God did this for us. He made us for Him, but He made the earth and the universe for us to enjoy. Hey, I like space travel. I like the Mars thing. I think that would be cool. I hope I'm alive when they land on Mars. They'll never do it. Why not? They did it up to the moon. How do you know? All right, I wasn't there. But I like it. I hate that NASA's kind of gotten weaker and it's not doing what it used to do. No one's walked on the moon in my lifetime. I like the observation. Proverbs says this: It is for God to conceal a matter, but it's for kings to search it out. That means God's allowed to hide things, but He expects us to go ahead and enjoy to try to figure things out. I like that. I like to be able to go and look up into space. And I love to go to the planetarium at the Creation Museum and see all the wonderful stars. And it blows my mind how they got the pictures, an artist sketch, I guess, of how far they think they've seen out in the universe. And it's just as far as they can go. But man, beyond that, there's probably a billion more just like that. And that's God's detail. Hey, enjoy life. God created it for you to enjoy, and He intended for us to enjoy it forever. Then sin came. So we can't enjoy this earth forever. That was His intention. Then sin came and corrupted it. So everything has to go. Everything has to be destroyed. Everything has to be wiped out. Everything has to be burned up in fire because of the sin of man. And God said, that's okay, except for one thing. I don't want my people to do that. So how can I get them out of the fire? I'll pay for it. And He came to earth, died on the cross, and paid for your and my sin. And I can go to heaven. And you can too. So one day when this earth is destroyed, and the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, and the heavens and the earth fled away. They're destroyed, they're gone, no more to be in existence. He does it all over again. Creates a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation chapter 21. Starts all over. He won't have to make mankind because He's already got us and He's already redeemed us. But He starts all over, this whole wonderful experience. You say, what's it going to be like? I have no idea. I've never been there. But I will one day. And if you're saved, you will too. But if you're not saved, He never intended for you to go to hell. But our sins, that's what's going to put us there. As much as the devil wants you to not realize that Genesis 1:1 is true, he wants you to realize that he doesn't want you to realize that hell is real and heaven's real. He wants you to miss out. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you don't ever remember a time where you prayed and asked Christ to come in your heart and be your Savior, hey, I want you to know that Jesus loves you and He died for you.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.